that next Lord's Day we're going to have our begin a series of 4 days with our brother David Dunbar. These are important days. He's one of the fine ministers of the Word of God. He's just a delight to be around, and he knows the book. And I look forward to these times when someone like Brother David comes in, because I can sit and listen to them and I can eat the honey. And when I sit and listen to someone like Dr. Dunbar or Brother Tom Taylor, to me it's just like eating honey. I enjoy it to the full, and I'm looking forward to it. And I trust that you will invite your friends, and if you have any enemies, invite them too to come along. Tonight we're turning to the book of James. James ought to be a real good book. If you don't believe it, ask Brother Piles. He'll agree with that. Brother James is a good book. It's the most practical book in the Bible. James puts practice to faith. Verse 1 of chapter 1, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations or trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but that patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And we want to deal with verse 4 in particular tonight. But that patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Again, let's just look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come into thy holy presence, and we acknowledge our need of patience. We are so impatient, and our impatience manifests our immaturity. And we come to you tonight. Thy word says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And as we ask thee for wisdom, we ask thee for patience. And when we ask for patience, we're asking for trials. For it is tribulation that worketh patience. And we pray, O God, that patience may have its perfect work, and that we may accept thy ways and thy works in our lives, in order that you can entrust us with a knowledge of your will, and with the privilege of proclaiming thy truth by word and by life. Now, our Father, we commend ourselves to thee tonight, and we pray that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart will be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. For the Lord Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. We chuckle many times when we hear the statement about the woman who was praying, Lord, give me patience and I want it right now. We chuckle over that, but patience is probably the hardest lesson that we mortals have to learn. Patience and learning patience begins in childhood. It takes patience to learn everything that we know. And the child who will not learn to be patient will not learn much of anything else either. It takes patience to learn to read. It takes patience to learn to spell. It takes patience to memorize the multiplication tables. It takes patience to learn to play the piano. And it takes discipline. It takes patience for just about everything that takes place in our lives because it takes patience to grow. Now, there are children who want to be 16 at 8, but it just doesn't work that way. It takes patience to grow. It takes patience to learn to write. God has ordained that maturity be a slow process. Maturity is not an instant experience. We think it ought to be. We think that the moment a person is saved, that moment they're ready to go. Well, they are. They're ready for heaven. But there is so much growing that needs to be done. The word of God in the book of James says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into many trials, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. That's contrary to what you hear on TV, many of the TV preachers. You shouldn't have any trials. You should never be sick. You should have plenty of money. You should have everything. But you see, friends, the word of God says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into many trials. And you'll notice from the first verse of the book of James that James is writing to the 12 tribes who are scattered abroad. He's writing to that group that were scattered abroad that Peter writes to when he says that to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. James is writing to this group. What happened? Well, you see, the disciples and those who were saved were at Jerusalem. And persecution came in, and they went everywhere preaching the gospel. They were scattered abroad. James is the first epistle probably written in the New Testament. Probably the book of James is the first letter that was, or book of the New Testament that was written. So we want to consider what he says here in verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work. Impatience, friends, is usually a mark of immaturity. And that's the way the Apostle James puts it in our text. He says, let patience have her perfect work in order that ye may be perfect and entire, or that ye may be perfect and mature, wanting nothing. You see, adults have their own share of impatience. Abraham, Genesis chapter 16, could not wait for God to fulfill his promise that he made in chapter 15, that he was going to give him a son. And through this son, whom he was going to give, he was going to have a posterity as numerous as the stars of heaven. Abraham couldn't wait. He listened to his wife. His wife suggested, well, maybe God means that you should have a son through the handmaid that we have here in the house, Hagar, the Egyptian servant girl. So Abraham took her to wife, and then he produced Ishmael. But you see, God never recognized Hagar as Abraham's wife. And God told Abraham, the son of the bondwoman will never be heir with the son of the free woman, with Isaac. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. So you see, we get impatient too. Adults get impatient as well as children. Moses got impatient. He killed the Egyptian, you remember. He thought it was time for him to be used of God to deliver Israel. But he had to flee Egypt. And then for 40 years, he had to tend sheep in the land of Midian. He was impatient. In other words, when you look at the life of Moses, It took 80 years of training before God could use him. Is God patient? When we talk about the patience and the long-suffering of God, it took 80 years of training. And then, with an impatience, after being with Israel almost 40 more years, he smote the rock twice in impatience, and that kept him out of the land of promise. That means almost 120 years. In Psalm 32, God has something to say to us. And we want to turn to the 32nd Psalm for a moment. And Psalm 32 speaks of the blessed man. For you'll notice Romans chapter 4 in the opening verses. For the opening verses of Psalm 32 are quoted in the area of justification by faith in Romans chapter 4. So this 32nd Psalm is written concerning the blessed man. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. In other words, the man that is forgiven by God. So we get down to the 9th verse. Verse 9 says, be ye not as a horse or as a mule. And he's speaking to those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sin is covered. And he says, don't be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Why does he tell us, don't be like the horse or the mule? Well, the horse, he wants to run. He wants to run ahead. And the mule, if I can't do what I want to do, I'm not going to do it at all. The mule is stubborn. And God says, don't be that way. Don't be like a horse or the mule. In other words, the mule, if he doesn't want to move, he's not going to move. And we all have the same problem. We must let patience do her perfect work. Now, waiting on God is one of the most difficult things that we as Christians ever have to do. Waiting on God. Why is it so difficult? Well, number one, we're so prone to walk by sight and not by faith. Now, the Word of God says concerning the coming of the Lord and concerning the resurrection of the body, concerning the future of the child of God in 2 Corinthians 5, that we walk by faith and not by sight, because otherwise we cannot have any hope at all concerning the future and concerning the resurrection of the body when all these things happen to us, when a loved one is lost, or when a best friend is laid aside. We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God. There we walk by faith. But you see, in ordinary Christian life, in our ordinary everyday life, we have a tendency to walk by sight rather than by faith. But God has assured us that he's working on our behalf. We know, the scripture says, that all things do work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. But we're much like the Egyptians were when they were at the Red Sea. When they faced the Red Sea with the Egyptian army behind them, what did they do? They thought God had deserted them. After all the plagues that he had brought upon Egypt, after all the words of Moses with them, after all God's working, they said, God had deserted them. They looked at the blackness of the sky. They looked at the sea before them, the army of Pharaoh behind them, and they cried out to God. But they murmured against Moses. But you see, God was working in the darkness, and God was working in the wind. God was using both the darkness and the wind for their deliverance. Remember Jacob? When he had to send Benjamin back down to Egypt, when Joseph was there, Joseph told the brothers his own brothers, the brothers of Benjamin, if you don't bring your brother Benjamin along, you will not see my face. Jacob didn't want to send him. And Jacob said, all these things are against me. He said, Simeon is not. He was in prison in Egypt. The problem was, Simeon was. He said, he is not. He said, Joseph is not. The problem is, he didn't know that he was the prime minister of the land of Egypt. He said, and they're going to take Benjamin away. Benjamin was going to be the means of the blessing of Jacob and his family. And then he said, all these things are against me, and every one of them is for him. Let patience have her perfect work. Moses' command, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, is very pertinent. The only way that God can teach Philip patience is to test him and to try him. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into many trials. The only way we can learn patience is to surrender to God and watch God work. You see, God can grow a mushroom overnight, but it takes years to grow an oak. God can grow a mushroom overnight, but it takes years, hundreds of years, for a giant sequoia. God is patient. Patience, friends, is a fruit of the Spirit. We read in Galatians 5:22, now the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, patience, self-control. Patience is fruit of the Spirit. David was quite a young man when Samuel the prophet anointed him to be king over Israel. But for years, David had to run for his life. And he was like a bird on the mountain that King Saul was trying to catch and kill. All the trials of David's life took about 17 years for David to be running like a bird on the mountain. He had the holy anointing oil upon him. God said, you're my king. But God trained him for 17 years. What happened in those 17 years? David wrote most of the great Psalms that you and I enjoy. Those psalms were born out of what? Trial and patience. When we think of our blessed Lord himself, for 30 years he lived among men before he ever even began his public ministry. And then for 3.5 years he ministered, waiting to do his redeeming work. Time and again, especially in the Gospel of John, you read the expression, his hour had not yet come. He said that to his mother at his first miracle in John chapter 2. It's written again in the 7th chapter of John, or the 8th chapter. And it's again in the 10th chapter, and again in the 12th chapter. Finally, when you get to the 17th chapter, and our Lord bows in prayer to the Father, he says, Father, the hour is come. You know there's a verse in the book of Hebrews. If you want to turn back to Hebrews chapter 5, there's a verse in the book of Hebrews that always amazes me whenever I read it. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. Speaking of Christ, our high priest after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears to him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. And here's the verse. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Was our Lord perfect? Yes. But as a son, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. You ask me to explain that, I can't. I simply believe it. This shows the perfect humanity of our blessed Lord. This shows that he is the one who is indeed ordained of God, to whom we can come as a great high priest. He knows what it is to suffer. He suffered and he learned obedience through it. Now the hardest place, perhaps, for the believer to be patient is in the furnace of suffering. We have a difficulty there. Why? Because God doesn't tell us what, and he doesn't tell us why. We don't understand what and why he's permitting things to come to pass. There are many times in my life that I've cried out to God on behalf of others and told him I don't understand what he's doing. I don't. And I don't know anybody else who does. But I know this, that our great high priest cares. And he doesn't give us explanations. He just tells us, walk by faith. Trust me. And you see, this is what God told the believers, the Hebrew believers in Hebrews chapter 6. Turn back to Hebrews 6 for a moment. Hebrews 6 is one of the most difficult portions in the New Testament to expound. It is that terrible exhortation concerning the drifting of those who profess. And we have the difference between believers and professors. In Hebrews 6 and verse 12, he says this. He says, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. How are the promises inherited? The promises are inherited through faith and patience. The problem in Hebrews chapter 6, the Lord Jesus had come. They had made a profession of faith in our Lord Jesus. They had believed his miracles. They had believed the message concerning Christ. But the temple at Jerusalem is still standing. And they were being persecuted because they believed they belonged to that little group who had trusted Christ. And the tendency is, well, I'm going back. I can't take any more of this persecution. I'm going back to Judaism. But to go back to Judaism spelled disaster. We're not of them that go back, we read in the close of Hebrews 10, but of them who believe. That's faith. We are of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And the writer to the Hebrews says in this passage, that ye be not slothful. That's usually how Christians become. They become slothful. Anything is good enough for God. That becomes the answer. And it's a spirit of slothfulness that can come over the child of God in a time of stress and in a time of strain. And he says, see that you be not slothful. But on the other hand, that's negative. On the other hand is a positive. But followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Followers of who? Well, there was David. David inherited the promise that God made to him as a youth. Abraham inherited the promise. He had the privilege of being the father to Isaac, who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Look over in chapter 10. Chapter 10 of Hebrews, near the end of the chapter, verse 36. He says, in verse 35, he says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience. Don't cast away what you have. Don't cast away that confidence in the Word of God, because a number of people don't agree with you. Don't cast away your confidence in the Word of God, which you have come to understand, because things are going tough. You don't cast away the Word of God. You see, why not? It has great recompense and reward. There's a day coming, this is the only thing that's going to be worth anything. Don't cast it away. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into many trials, knowing that the trying of your faith, what goes with faith? Confidence. Don't cast away your confidence. But what do we have on the other hand? For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Oh, friends, there's a day coming when we're going to stand before the Lord. We're going to stand before Him, and we're going to give an account. You see, knowing this, that God is near us, and that He's working out His purposes, should encourage us. But we often get impatient on the way. What value is patience? What is the real value of patience? The real value is this. If God can make a believer patient, then He can trust that believer with His gracious will. If God can make the child of God patient, He can trust him with His gracious will. I listened to Elizabeth Elliot many times during the week, especially from away from home. And this week, Elizabeth Elliot was at a convention somewhere, and she was taking questions from the audience. And she really brought down the house with this question. She said, when you and Jim went to the mission field, did you know about the psychological problems that could befall you on the way? Oh, she said, when we went to the mission field, it was before we had these so-called psychological problems. And she brought down the house for this reason. It is people who've never been there that have made them up. You know, doctors continuously talk about diseases and this and that, especially to women who are expecting, pregnant women. They tell them, now this could be wrong and that could be wrong and you need this test and that test, and if they do take the test and they find something's wrong, they can't do anything anyway. I'm amazed. And you see, people are afraid of the mission field because people develop all kinds of psychological problems there. We've had a lot of company in our home over the past years. And the most well-adjusted people are the missionaries. I thank God for people like Elizabeth Elliot, who have the wisdom, the ability, and the courage to tell it like it is. All we need to do is simply trust God, rather than those who talk about problems that are connected with the will of God. Just obey what the Word of God says. You need a patience. That's what the writer to the Hebrews said. You see, there's another problem that we have with patience. You know, we never graduate from the school of patience. It's a school from which we'll never graduate. We're always learning. We are always maturing. And you know, there are no honorary degrees given either in the school of patience. No honorary degrees. You know, we often fail the examination even before we know what the lesson is. There is no graduation till we get to be with the Lord. Now let's come back to where we began. Lord, make me patient. Now, God will answer that prayer. He'll answer that prayer in ways that will probably startle us. If you and I can't ask Him to do it immediately, for patience takes the whole of our life. For patience, friends, we have to walk by faith. The best thing we can do is throw away our calendars and our watches and look by faith to our Lord to work out His purposes. You see, we expect God to do a certain thing at a certain time on a certain day within the time span of our desires. And He many times doesn't do it. And we have need of patience. All we have to do is read through the scriptures and see how God trained His servants to do His work. God's going to work out His purpose in our lives, and He's going to do it for His glory. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into many trials, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. It is something that is needed in our day. You and I are living in a day of instant coffee, instant tea, instant credit, instant this, and instant that. But there's no instant way to have patience. It is a result of God's gracious workings in us to perform His purpose and to mold us into the image of Christ. Oh, may God enable us to have patience. When we say that, we know that there are trials involved. Everything we learn takes patience. I still remember my father teaching me which foot this shoe goes on and which foot that shoe goes on. I still remember the way in which he did it. I look back over that lesson when I think of it, and I think of the patience of my father with me. It takes patience. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you now for the Word of God. We pray, O God, that we may submit to Thee and recognize Your working in us and through us for Your glory and for Your praise. We want to thank you for all that you do. Cause thy name to be glorified to our lives. Deliver us, our Father, from the mundane ways of the world, in order that we'll look at each day as a new day for the experiencing of thy grace and thy blessing, that thy name will be exalted in us and through us for the honor and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we commend this company to thee and to thy grace. In Jesus' name, amen.